Page 154. And then he said, if you could move away from the counter. And I said, when is the train to London? And he looked at his watch and said, Platform 1, 5 minutes. And I said, where is Platform 1? And he pointed and said, through the underpass and up the stairs. You'll see the signs. And underpass meant tunnel, because I could see where he was pointing. So I went out of the ticket office, but it wasn't like a computer game at all, because I was in the middle of it, and it was like all the signs were shouting in my head, and someone bumped into me as they walked past, and I made a noise like a dog barking to scare them off. And I pictured in my head a big red line across the floor, which started at my feet and went through the tunnel, and I started walking along the red line, saying, left, right, left, right, left, right. Because sometimes when I am frightened or angry, it helps if I do something that has a rhythm to it, like music or drumming, which is something Sibin taught me to do. And I went upstairs and I saw a sign saying, Platform 1, and the arrow was pointing at a glass door, so I went through it, and someone bumped into me again with a suitcase, and I made another noise like a dog barking, and they said, watch where the hell you're going. But I pretended that they were just one of the guarding demons in Train to London, and there was a train. And I saw a man with a newspaper and a bag of golf clubs go up to one of the doors of the train and press a big button next to it, and the doors were electronic, and they slid open, and I liked that. And then the doors closed behind him. Page 155. And then I looked at my watch, and 3 minutes had gone past since I was at the ticket office, which meant that the train would be going in 2 minutes. And then I went up to the door, and I pressed the big button, and the doors slid open, and I stepped through the doors, and I was on the train to London. 193. When I used to play with my train set, I made a train timetable because I liked timetables. And I like timetables because I like to know when everything is going to happen. And this was my timetable when I lived at home with Father, and I thought that Mother was dead from a heart attack. This was the timetable for a Monday, and also it is an approximation. 7:20 a.m. Wake up. 7:25 a.m. Clean teeth and wash face. 7:30 a.m. Give Toby food and water. 7:40 a.m. Have breakfast. 8 a.m. Put school clothes on. 8:05 a.m. Pack school bag. 8:10 a.m. Read book or watch video. 8:32 a.m. Catch bus to school. 8:43 a.m. Go past tropical fish shop. 8:51 a.m. Arrive at school. 9 a.m. School assembly. 9:15 a.m. First morning class. 10:30 a.m. break. 10:50 a.m. art class with Mrs. Peters. Footnote 13. In the art class, we do art. But in the first morning class and the first afternoon class and the second afternoon class, we do lots of different things, like reading and tests and social skills and looking after animals and what we did at the weekend and writing and maths and stranger danger and money and personal hygiene. Text. 12:30 p.m. lunch. 1 p.m. first afternoon class. 2:15 p.m. second afternoon class. Page 156. 3:30 p.m. catch school bus home. 3:49 p.m. get off school bus at home. 3:50 p.m. have juice and snack. 3:55 p.m. give Toby food and water. 4 p.m. take Toby out of his cage. 4:18 p.m. put Toby into his cage. 4:20 p.m. watch television or video. 5 p.m. read a book. 6 p.m. have tea. 6:30 p.m. watch television or a video. 7 p.m. do maths practice. 8 p.m. have a bath. 8:15 p.m. get changed into pajamas. 8:20 p.m. play computer games. 9 p.m. watch television or a video. 9:20 p.m. have juice and a snack. 9:30 p.m. go to bed. And at the weekend, I make up my own timetable, and I write it down on a piece of cardboard, and I put it up on the wall. And it says things like feed Toby, or do maths, or go to the shop to buy sweets. And that is one of the other reasons why I don't like France, because when people are on holiday, they don't have a timetable. And I had to get Mother and Father to tell me every morning exactly what we were going to do that day to make me feel better. Because time is not like space. And when you put something down somewhere, like a protractor or a biscuit, you can have a map in your head to tell you where you have left it. But even if you don't have a map, it will still be there because a map is a representation of things that actually exist. So you can find the protractor or the biscuit again. And a timetable is a map of time, except that if you don't have a timetable, time is not there like the landing and the garden and the route to school. Because time is only the relationship between the way different things change, like the earth going round the sun and atoms vibrating and clocks ticking and day and night and waking up and going to sleep. And it is like west or nor-nor-east, which won't exist when the earth stops existing and falls into the sun, because it is only a relationship between the North Pole and the South Pole and everywhere else, like Mogadishu and Sunderland and Canberra. Page 157. And it isn't a fixed relationship like the relationship between our house and Mrs. Shear's house, or like the relationship between 7 and 865, but it depends on how fast you are going relative to a specific point. And if you go off in a spaceship and you travel near the speed of light, you may come back and find that all your family is dead and you are still young, and it will be the future, but your clock will say that you have only been away for a few days or months. And because nothing can travel faster than the speed of light, this means that we can only know about a fraction of the things that go on in the universe, like this. And he's drawn, the horizontal line is labeled time, and the vertical line is labeled space. There's a speckled angle that comes to the right and then goes off to the left and hits right at the intersection of time and space, which has the word now printed in it. And above now are the letters P and C, and below Q, and at the point of the angle on the time axis is a little small F at the just beside the word now text. And this is a map of everything and everywhere. And the future is on the right, and the past is on the left. And the gradient of the line C is the speed of light. But we can't know about the things which happen in the shaded areas, even though some of them have already happened. But when we get to F, it will be possible to find out about things which happen in the lighter areas, P and Q. Page 158. And this means that time is a mystery, and not even a thing, and no one has ever solved the puzzle of what time is exactly. And so if you get lost in time, it is like being lost in a desert, except that you can't see the desert because it's not a thing. And this is why I like timetables, because they make sure you don't get lost in time. 197. There were lots of people on the train, and I didn't like that, because I don't like lots of people I don't know, and I hate it even more if I am stuck in a room with lots of people I don't know. And a train is like a room, and you can't get out of it when it's moving. And it made me think of when I had to come home in the car from school one day, because the bus had broken down, and Mother came and picked me up, and Mrs. Peters asked Mother if she could take Jack and Polly home, because their mothers couldn't come and pick them up, and Mother said yes. But I started screaming in the car because there were too many people in it, and Jack and Polly weren't in my class, and Jack bangs his head on things and makes a noise like an animal, and I tried to get out of the car, but it was still going along, and I fell out onto the road, and I had to have stitches in my head, and they had to shave the hair off, and it took 3 months for it to grow back to the way it was before. So I stood very still in the train carriage and didn't move. And then I heard someone say, "Christopher." And I thought it would be someone I knew, like a teacher from school, or one of the people who live on our street, but it wasn't. It was the policeman again. Page 159. And he said, "Caught you just in time," and he was breathing really loud and holding his knees. And I didn't say anything, and he said, "We've got your father at the police station." And I thought he was going to say that they had arrested father for killing Wellington, but he didn't. He said, "He's looking for you." And I said, "I know." And he said, "So why are you going to London?" And I said, "Because I'm going to live with mother." And he said, "Well, I think your father might have something to say about that." And then I thought that he was going to take me back to father, and that was frightening because he was a policeman, and policemen are meant to be good. So I started to run away, but he grabbed me and I screamed, and then he let go. And he said, "Okay, let's not get overexcited here." And then he said, "I'm going to take you back to the police station, and you and me and your dad can sit down and have a little chat about who's going where." And I said, "I'm going to live with mother in London." And he said, "Not just yet, you're not." And I said, "Have you arrested father?" And he said, "Arrested him? What for?" And I said, "He killed a dog with a garden fork. The dog was called Wellington." And the policeman said, "Did he now?" And I said, "Yes, he did." And he said, "Well, we can talk about that as well." And then he said, "Right, young man, I think you've done enough adventuring for one day." Page 160. And then he reached out to touch me again, and I started to scream again, and he said, "Now listen, you little monkey, you can either do what I say, or I am going to have to make..." And then the train jiggled, and it began to move. And then the policeman said, "Shitting fuck!" And then he looked at the ceiling of the train, and he put his hands together in front of his mouth like people do when they are praying to God in heaven, and he breathed really loudly into his hands and made a whistling noise. And then he stopped because the train jiggled again, and he had to grab hold of one of the straps which were hanging from the ceiling. And then he said, "Don't move." And then he took out his walkie-talkie and pressed a button and said, "Rob? Yeah, it's Nigel. I'm stuck on the bloody train. Yeah. Don't even... Look, it stops at Didcot Parkway, so if you can get someone to meet me with a car... Cheers. Tell his old man we've got him, but it's going to take a while, okay? Great." And then he clicked his walkie-talkie off, and he said, "Let's get ourselves a seat." And he pointed to two long seats nearby, which faced each other, and he said, "Park yourself, and no monkey business." And the people who were sitting on the seats got up and walked away, because he was a policeman, and we sat down facing one another. And he said, "You are a bloody handful, you are. Jeez." And I wondered whether the policeman would help me find 451C Chapter Road, London, NW2 5NG. And I looked out of the window, and we were going past factories and scrapyards full of old cars, and there were four caravans in a muddy field with two dogs and some clothes hanging up to dry. Page 161. And outside the window was like a map, except that it was in three dimensions, and it was life-size because it was the thing it was a map of. And there were so many things it made my head hurt, so I closed my eyes, but then I opened them again because it was like flying, but nearer to the ground. And I think flying is good. And then the countryside started, and there were fields and cows and horses and a bridge and a farm and more houses and lots of little roads with cars on them. And that made me think that there must be millions of miles of train track in the world, and they all go past houses and roads and rivers and fields, and that made me think how many people must be in the world, and they all have houses and roads to travel on, and cars and pets and clothes, and they all eat lunch and go to bed and have names, and this made my head hurt too, so I closed my eyes again and did counting and groaning. And when I opened my eyes, the policeman was reading a newspaper called The Sun, and on the front of the paper it said, £3 M, Anderson's Call Girl Shame, and it had a picture of a man and a picture of a lady in a bra underneath. And then I did some maths practice in my head, solving quadratic equations using the formula x equals negative b plus or minus the square root of parentheses, b squared minus 4ac, close parentheses, divided by 2a. And then I wanted to go for a wee, but I was on a train, and I didn't know how long it would take us to get to London, and I felt a panic starting, and I started to tap a rhythm on the glass with my knuckles to help me wait and not think about